This is the My Faith Journey column. It's entitled A Baptized Imagination. It's written by Kara Strickland, who writes about food and drink, singleness, faith, and mental health from her home in the Northwest. As a young girl, I was always thrilled when my mother took my brother and me to the library. The stacks seemed endless, and I loved that there were so many options, books, movies, music, that I could borrow for free. I read constantly in those days, cementing a love of meaningful art that has continued to flourish in my life. But though I reveled in the choices and the titles, I did have a problem. I wanted to make sure I was reading, listening to, and watching the right things. You see, I grew up in the evangelical church, but I'm learning that my experience is shared by many young Christians born in the 80s and 90s. Our parents wanted to protect us from content they thought might hurt us, might hurt our faith. I'm not against child reading at their age level or parents restricting certain kinds of entertainment for young children. In fact, I'm thankful for many of those decisions my parents made. But I internalized some of their attempts to protect me from things that I might not be ready for, along with a value judgment. Some art was dangerous. I could change who I was and who I believed in, and that was a bad thing. For years, I snap a book shut if I found even a hint of another religion or a fictional seance. I avoided anything that felt New Age, and I was skeptical of magical worlds and stories of intensive, extensive self-reliance, worrying that it would dull my reliance on God. I continued to read and watch voraciously, but what I took in was safe. The art I consumed rarely made me uncomfortable. In college, I read the Harry Potter books, a series boycotted by many of my childhood friends because of sorcery. My parents had never told me to avoid sorcery, but by that time the books became popular. I was already avoiding things on my own that seemed a bit worrisome. During my senior year of college, I stayed up late devouring the Potter books between tying up the loose ends of my undergraduate career. In those pages, I found themes of love, bravery, friendship, and I found humor, warmth, and grief. And far from the other books threatening my faith, in the end, I was convinced that a lot of truth had seeped into those words for me and other readers to find. When I left my evangelical roots and began to find a home in the ELCA, I realized there were many faithful Christians who hadn't interpreted being in the world but not of it to mean shunning R-rated movies. After my experience with Harry Potter, I started looking for truth everywhere. When Brené Brown's TED Talk about vulnerability went viral, I saw liberation, self-compassion, and connection. When I watched Pixar's Inside Out, crying all the way, I found powerful statements about emotion and why memory matters so much. I met up with truth in young adult fiction and R-rated movies and self-help resources, sometimes even more than I did in traditionally Christian books and media. Now, I live my life with a lot less fear. When I browse the bookstore or the library, I'm not wondering if a piece of writing or a film will ruin my faith. I know it's strong enough to withstand some battering. Instead, I approach art with curiosity. What can I find here that's beautiful or says something true about the world? What can I take away that will continue to inform how I think and behave? Children's movies consistently get me. I cry with abandon, much more than I would have as a child, but when I watch Disney's Moana and then later Pixar's Coco, something in the back of my mind came to life, worrying me again that I would find something to collide with my worldview. Moana joins forces with a demigod, for instance, and Coco is about the Day of the Dead portraying an afterlife I didn't recognize. But Moana finds a way to bring healing and forgiveness. From Coco, I learned about a foreign cultural practice and was reminded of the importance of memory. These cultural contexts are important to the respective stories, but the films transcend their contexts and say something universal and true. You don't have to be Lutheran to love Babette's Feast, but it doesn't hurt. In the film, a woman teaches a table full of acidic guests about pleasure and celebration, serving a meal fit for a monarch. While I strive to embrace this idea in food, my practice now is also to embrace it in everything I consume, art included. It may be unfamiliar or prepared differently than I expect, but that doesn't mean it can't be nourishing, a balm to the soul.